Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Oh, yesterday was Wow Wednesday, and we had a ball over here on this due time with Pastor Steph. Were you with us? I sure hope you were. We had our socially conscious segment to get us started, and we had our girlfriend Vivian give us some woo information. Well, two of the biggest pieces of information were, what are you going to do about this Chicago police issue? Yes, 117,000 gang members versus 1,300 police officers. Now, surely one, outweighs the other heavily. How are you going to handle that? Oh, my goodness. And we had the Wow Wednesday news for the week, and that was Cardi B, who splurged along with the baby daddy over $250,000 on a little three-year-old on their three-year-old. Yes, the watch. How in the world is a watch supposed to benefit a three-year-old, even when it's a regular watch? We ain't talking about the fact that it's $250,000 and the diamond necklace or whatever else this jewelry was. And it definitely sparked conversation between myself and the women of worship. Yes, we had an excellent conversation. You know, we can make a conversation out of anything. And first of all, you can tell, as Elder Natisha brought up, when it comes to the police issue, where the gangs outweigh the police officers, that's just indication that there's some serious issues going on in that city and state. Yeah, they're definitely not prepared to the force that weighs heavily on that city. You know, there has to be a very poor education system in that area, poverty financially. Yeah, Elder Natisha brought out some really good points. And you know that a state and a city is definitely ill-equipped in the background if it's got an issue of that type of gang activity. Yeah, just that alone. Even if it was 117,000 gang members versus 117,000 police officers. Yeah, how do you grow to 117,000? Oh my goodness gracious, that's heavy. That is quite heavy. So, you know, again, you know, we move into the mentality of the people. When you take your money, you may not have 250,000, but when you take your $250 and you don't apply it properly, you know, or when there are very few things, very few options. So we had a great conversation, Elder Natisha, Lady Tamika, and myself. We were missing Pastor Kim. And, but I tell you, we weren't short of a conversation. All right. So, today, it's Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, the day where we discuss your health, whether it be, mental. That's the word I want to say, medical. Mental, emotional, physical, or spiritual health. Yes, we cover it all over here on this due time with Pastor Steph. And today, I have a couple of lists in two different directions. Yes, well, today is Therapeutic Thursday. Okay, it's like, let's talk about a Tuesday. We got to get you some information regarding your health. And I'm sure you're going to find these things very interesting as well as very useful. Okay, so I tell you that I'm going to give you a little bit of time to go get that healthy breakfast. Yes, I'm going to give you a little bit of time to go spread the news and tell everybody that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And then you're going to get a chance to sit still. Yes, sit still and take, I mean, before you know it, we'll be back and, you know, getting this information. So get that, those pens and papers together. You know, how have you been doing after the pomegranate? It's been more than 2 weeks. So have you been feeling any different? Do you feel it's been benefiting you? Okay, if so, give us a holler. 347-285-7777. Again, the number is 347-285-7777. Let us know if you feel any different. You know, they said that after 2 weeks, you were supposed to feel some things that were adjusted. So let us know about it, okay? All righty. Well, you sit tight, because it's just about that time. We'll be right back.
Come on, it's not that hard.
My big man fingers are having a problem with these little tiny buttons.
Whoa, watch it there. Your blood pressure's going to go through the roof.
Tell me about it. I'm trying to learn how to get it down. Instead, it keeps going up.
High blood pressure can increase the risk for heart attack or stroke. Learn how to keep yours at a healthy range.
Ever hear a voice command? Just say text barbershop to 97779.
That's not what I said.
Just give me that. Now my blood pressure's up.
Thank you.
Good morning, and good morning to you. You're on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it is Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, today we discuss your mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health. Yeah, we're almost through. We got one more day, God spares, to get us to the end of the week. And we're doing it together. So you got to be happy about that. Okay. So get those pens and papers out so I can give you some information. Okay. Alrighty. Now, for those of you who have a little difficulty sleeping, I might have a little remedy for you. Okay, I'm sure most of you have heard of the Mediterranean diet. You know, this week we've been talking about weight loss and losing weight and all of that kind of good stuff. Well, they say that the Mediterranean diet is one of the healthiest diets to be known. Yes. And I'm going to give you some information as to how this Mediterranean diet can help you sleep better. Okay. Now, I just want you to know that the Mediterranean diet has been known to help with diseases such as cardiovascular disease, anxiety and depression, cancer, and type 2 diabetes. Yeah. A lot of us deal with that type 2 or diabetes. Alrighty. And this diet has a high content of fruits and vegetables and extra virgin olive oil, legumes, whole grains, and nuts. Okay. It also includes a small amount of fish, white meats, eggs, and fermented dairy products like yogurt. Okay, has very little red meat in this diet. Okay, so if you're a red meat eater, you might not like this one too much. But if you're looking forward to dropping some of those pounds, this might be the regimen that you may want to take on to do this Mediterranean diet. And you'll see why in a minute. You'll see why. You know, we've been talking about eating better and the things that we should be focusing on as getting better and eating better for your health. So get those pens up, because if you want to sleep better, these are the things that you need to eat. Vegetables and fruit, a lot of vegetables and fruit, they say those dark leafy greens pack a whole lot of sleep-promoting nutrients and healthy nutrients for healthy sleep. Yes, they say greens are high in vitamin B and has a lot of magnesium, and it definitely helps with your sleep health, I should say. Okay, so for those of us who have started eating those leafy greens, remember, how many times have that come up on our list, those leafy greens, okay? They say dried figs, avocados, and bananas are also great with magnesium, and it helps to promote healthy sleep. And they say dark colored fruit such as cherries and berries off of good melatonin. Yeah. They're including pineapple and kiwi. That adds to the serotonin. And, oh, we all know that's the sleep word right there. Okay. All right. Legumes. Oh, those beans, those peas, and those lentils are also great for helping us sleep. They say that alfalfa, peas, soy, and peanuts definitely give a boost to healthy sleeping. Okay. Next, whole grains. They say get that quinoa, that feta cheese, those olives, and those tomatoes. Brown rice and wild rice are also great for helping to promote healthy sleep. Wow. Okay. Nuts and seeds. Okay. Nuts and seeds. Pistachio nuts, almonds, walnuts. See, these are not things that we haven't spoken about. They say chia seeds, sesame seeds, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds. Oh, yeah. Great for magnesium. That definitely push us to get a better sleep. Okay. Oh, and we have our fatty fish. All of these things have come up on other lists numerous times. Yes, they have. If you pull out that list, your cabinets and refrigerators should be full of this stuff already. Salmon, albacore tuna, sardines. Oh, there's those sardines. Those are definitely great for getting us better sleep. Okay. So let me just run through that one more time for you, just in case you missed something. They say veggies and fruits, such as the dark leafy greens, dried figs, avocados, and bananas. They say go and grab those cherries, those berries, pineapple, and kiwi. Legumes. Okay. Go get those beans, those peas, and those lentils. Whole grains. Quinoa. I forgot to add couscous. Brown rice. Wild rice. Yes, those things are going to help with the whole in the whole grains department. Nuts and seeds. Almonds, pistachios, walnuts, chia seeds, sesame seeds, sunflower seeds, and pumpkin seeds. Okay. And last but definitely not least, we're talking about that fatty fish. Ah, that salmon, albacore tuna, sardines. Okay. So I wonder if you've been eating these things, if your sleeping pattern has changed. It could have. But if we're doing all kind of crazy things during the day, yeah, it may not help with our sleep. So if you don't have a crazy schedule, then you're, you might benefit from these things. Okay? All righty. So let me move on to something else that I know I deal with like crazy. And this here I saw and I was like, oh, absolutely, I have to share this with my listeners. Reasons why, the top reasons why your scalp might be so itchy. Oh, my goodness. Talk about an itchy scalp. It drives me crazy. I have hair pins. I'm digging in my hair all the time. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. This is definitely worth talking about. that itchy scalp. How many of you go through that? Oh, my goodness gracious. It's like, it drives me crazy. It drives me crazy. And some people have issues. Yeah, there are other issues. You know, my head just itches. There's no real reason. But I haven't looked at the list. You know how we do. I'm just as surprised as you are. Well, ready? Come on. Get those pens up. The top reasons why you may have itchy scalp. Ready? Low humidity. Okay, they say the dry air can strip the hair and scalp of natural oils. Okay, the dermatologist says we need natural oils to create a barrier that keeps bacteria and toxins out. So, she said you might need to use a humidifier to prevent dryness and to protect the skin barrier inside your house that your hair doesn't stay dry all the time. Yeah, might be worth it. I don't know. I might go grab me a humidifier. But I don't want to invest the money and then nothing happens. Dandruff. Dandruff. Okay. They say if oil builds up, you can end up with clogged hair follicles and dandruff flakes. Wow. Did you ever think about that? They say get Paul Mitchell Tea Tree Scalp Care Collection. Let me say that again. Paul Mitchell Tea Tree Scalp Care Collection. And they say they sell it at JCPenney. Yeah, you may have to order it online because JCPenney stores are becoming rare. Okay. But it has some ginseng in it to stimulate the scalp and protect against the breakage, because dandruff means scratching. Scratching means breakage. Come on, let's follow that trail. All right, next. Psoriasis. And we see this on the TV all the time. You know, that skin condition. And normally people have it on their elbows, their knees, their legs. Yeah, you've seen some people with it. And it's real flaky. Yes. Well, they say psoriasis also affects the scalp. Okay? So, yes. So get your treatment and check with your dermatologist what would be great to work in your hair. Because not everything that works on your hair works on your skin will work on your hair. Yes. It has the same effect. It becomes flaky and irritable and itchy. But yeah, you don't want to put everything that you put on your skin in your hair. So just make sure we check with the dermatologist for this one. And this one, eczema. Oh, everybody's heard of eczema. And it will definitely cause a problem. I got a little quick story for you. I had one of my girls, my youngest girl, I noticed in her hair, it was just so dry and flaky, and she was constantly scratching. I was washing her hair with different things. I was oiling her scalp, and her scalp stayed white, and when I looked, her hair was coming out. She was bald. Oh, my goodness. And she took it like a champ. She was bald. She kept, like, all her hair around the edges, but in the center of her head, all her hair had come out. And I finally took her to a dermatologist. And he took a culture of what was going on in her head, and he gave me some medicine. And he said that the medicine would have to be oral medicine because it had to work from the inside out. Yes. And he said, just wait about a week and a half, 2 weeks. And sure enough, the hair became pure like a baby's bottom. Oh, my goodness. And you could see the little hair coming back. And it came back beautifully. But at first, it cleared up Well, they contacted me. She had hair eczema. Yes, and this wasn't the daughter who had eczema. No, I have another daughter who suffered with eczema for many years of her life, but this child had not suffered with any eczema on her skin, but it was hair eczema. Yes, so we got to be real careful. You know, that's why no matter what, no type of oil I put in the hair, it stayed white and dry because it was not addressing the eczema. So he said I wouldn't have known, and he gave me exactly what it was that I needed, and her hair came back beautifully. So I wanted to tell you that because this stuff is real. This stuff is real. Okay? The next thing they're talking about is lice. Yes, we all have heard of lice. I am one. I don't share my combs and brushes with anybody. Give me my own. No. Remember years ago we used to share combs and brushes? Oh, my goodness. Do you think about some of the stuff we've done over the years? Oh, my goodness. Yes. Well, lice will definitely offer issues as well as an itchy scalp. Okay. So those are the reasons why those are the top reasons why we may have an itchy scalp. Oh, did you find that helpful? I hope so, especially after the eczema story. Yeah. Okay. So we got some stories here that I want to talk about. You know how we always do our news. And so you can put your pens down. Now, we always trust these people, you know, people in power, people in authority. You know, if we do something wrong, you know, we get locked up possibly and they put us before the judge and the judge, you know, gives us our sentencing and all that kind of stuff. Well, this article says that there was a judge who pimped his 12-year-old daughter. Now, I mean, come on. Really? It starts off with he initially was pimping the wife. Yes. Well, this is in, not here in, you know, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen here in the United States, but it's not a United States story. But your magistrate, they found out that he had been on a website, where he was, you know, offering his wife up to strangers for sex. And after a while, I guess that got to be boring, and he went on to the 12-year-old daughter. Well, God is great, because they say as long as she stayed on the list, the daughter, nobody picked up. Nope. Nobody responded. Nobody responded to the daughter's post. Yes. Or his post of the daughter. You know what I mean. Yeah. But they say he faces up to 10 years in prison. I say for the baby, for the wife, absolutely. For the baby, oh no, you need to just go away for good. You need to go away for good. Because, listen, when you're a sexual predator and when you do things like this, that stuff don't leave you. No. I mean, now, I'm not saying that God can't change people. You know, listen, you know what I mean. It's not like a thief or, you know, as long as you keep them away, you know, that stuff might wear off. No. So what happens in 10 years? Now, from what I understand, he's 55. So when he comes out, he's 65. So what are you going to do when you're 65? You're not going to have anybody. You're not going to have a wife. You're not going to have any children. So what you going to do? Well, what happens after that? Oh. All right now. So, the pastor. The judge, I looked up on the board and saw the word pastor. The judge who was pimping out the 12-year-old daughter on the internet. So here's my thing. What? How are you sentencing people while you on the bench? Well, how are you sentencing them? And you got this kind of back story of your own. I don't know, y'all. I don't know. These people are sick. And I say these are the people who, you know, hold our fate in their hands. You look at me and charge my crime and sentence me, and yet this is how you're living. Oh, my. All right, another cockeyed story we got here today. Oh, they have this gentleman, if you want to call him that, in Florida who was trying to kill the ex-girlfriend and her family and was going to blame it on the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, we did see, you know, like different videos and pictures, and they were complaining back last year when there was all this rioting and stuff going on, where there were people who were wasn't on our side of the fence, who was doing stuff and putting Black Lives Matter, pointing their fingers to us, you know, where people would look at us. Well, here's how this story goes, and you know what, just sometimes we just got to say give up, okay? Well, here's what happened. There was an investigation of a 26-year-old woman who they were searching for. She was found dead in Miami, and come to find out that this man had hired this woman, excuse me, Breanne, to kidnap and kill his ex-girlfriend. But Breanne died of an accidental drug overdose before she could kill the people. Okay? So, as they were doing the research for her, they stumbled across another plot where he had hired someone else, a drug dealer, to knock out the teeth and kidnap the same ex-girlfriend. And he wanted the nose broken and acid thrown in her face. Well, somehow or another, he became an informant and told them exactly what he was planning on doing and was going to spray paint Black Lives Matter on the side of the house. Okay? Well, that plan didn't go through either. And now he is facing all these charges. Yep. So sometimes things just ain't meant to happen. Now, wouldn't you say that's it? Now, you plan on, doing all of this stuff. And at one point, the lady dies of a drug overdose, and then you go get somebody else, and then that man, that don't go through. And what are you going to do? Give up? Well, unfortunately, he didn't have a chance to give up before they caught him. Well, I don't know. Let's talk about this thing. You know it's crazy. Oh, where's my dude Tom Crew? Where is my dude Tom Crew? Where's my brother Al? Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Chop, chop of the morning. Chop, chop of the morning. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Have you been listening to these stories, Brother Al?
Oh, man. Yes, I have. Sure enough.
All right. So let's start with the judge. The judge who they say was pimping the 12-year-old daughter. Now, he had already had the wife on lock on the internet, on this site, for sex. And then, I tell you, Now he says, that's not good enough. I need the 12-year-old on here. What's going on?
You know, maybe the wife wasn't making too much money. So he said, let me go to the young buck. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're saying a little joke about it, but that's sad. Like, you really going to pimp out your wife and your daughter? Like, serious? Like, he need to get, I tell you, they need to dig the jail up, put him in there, and put the jail, and plant the jail back down.
Absolutely, excuse me. Absolutely. And again, I say these are the people who sit on the bench. And, now you're pointing your finger at me, telling me what I can do and how you going to lock me up and all of this kind of stuff. And yet you got your daughter on the internet. Oh, my gosh. I tell you.
Insane.
What about your Florida man? He can't seem to get this crime to be carried out. His ex-girlfriend going to live, I suppose. You say he can't seem to kill her off.
He better leave her alone, man. You can't kill her off. Let her be. It ain't meant to be. Now, that was the one that was going to put Black Lives Matter, right?
Yep. He was going to put Black Lives Matter
and,
on the side of the house.
That's just insane. And you know what's so crazy is that, you know, on a serious note, our people need to open our eyes and just see how people just got to plot against us and come together. Like, so, you know, if you'd have got away with that and put that on there, oh, man, black people would have been targeted even more. So this is why we got to wake up and open our eyes and see what's going on. Like, you know, let's blame it on Black Lives Matter. I can get away with that. You know, and I'm quite sure you know how the news people are. They'd have been right in there. Yeah, so people
did that.
They were people of color.
Yep. Oh, they would have loved that article. They would have loved to write that. That's right. They would have loved to write that article. But thank God he was, you know, he was snagged, and he did not have an opportunity. Not only that, it was her and her family. So, I mean, we've been talking the past few weeks about how we are going, you know, buck wild over the exes. So now this just really proves that you just go all above and beyond to get this woman killed. You're going to throw acid in her face and all of this? Oh, no. You're sick.
All right, man.
You're sick.
Yeah, very sick. He's a very sick man.
Thank you, Brother Al, for joining us. Thank you for joining us. Where's our girl, Tamika? Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning, top of the morning. Great to see everybody. Where are my kingdom carriers at? Where you at? Holler back.
I'm hollering back. How are you today?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm doing well. What you got to say about this judge and the daughter and the wife?
What a mess. It just, you know, it gets worse and worse and worse. You know, your sick, demented mind, you know, it's bad enough that you decide to pimp your wife, you know, but your child, you know, and... You know, in my mind, what comes back is, okay, so you allowed the wife to sleep with somebody else and then bring that back home. And, you know, I don't know if you're still intimate with your wife. There's all kinds of sicknesses, diseases. And not only that, there's that spiritual, you know, connection. And it's just, you know, and then you weren't pleased enough with your wife doing it. You decide a 12-year-old child, you know, what is wrong with you? You know, what is... Seriously, you know, in your mind that you feel that that's okay, you know, and then, you know, that's one of the reasons why I love It's Due Time, because we're often called to examine ourselves, you know, what is it that I can adjust, you know, what's, you know, we said it yesterday, what's wrong with you, you know, what's the issue that's, you know, at the heart of things, you know, so that we can examine ourselves and therefore, you know, fix the things that we physically, you know, that you got an issue. And so, you know, you work on you before you offend someone else in your household or, you know, your family members or anybody else.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, what's this thing, Tamika, with the exes, and you can't seem to get over the ex? We just got finished talking about this 2 weeks in a row with these people and the ex and how we handle what happens when you become an ex. Why are we losing it? What is that?
And you know, I always got a song, so I think you better let it go. You're still hanging on. Like, you decided that you wanted her dead, and then you plan how you want it done. You want her nose broke. What's the purpose for breaking her nose, you know, and her teeth out and acid in her face? You got this whole plan, and you're not going to do it. You know, you're going to get somebody else to do it. So you're ruining their life, your life, her life, her family members' life. What? I mean, have they all offended you that much that you want their memory gone? Then you have to deal with the fact that you are responsible for their death. So, you know, God prevails again, you know, in that, you know, she's safe, her family's safe, you know, and she no longer has to deal with something that she may not have even been aware of.
Right, right. Can you imagine running around thinking you're fine and now this person is after you? But it just goes to show you he didn't know how to choose somebody anyway. You chose somebody who was using drugs and she ended up with a drug overdose. So clearly you don't even know how to choose the people that are going to carry out this, you know, this crime. No, he shows you.
On top of that, then you're going to blame Black Lives Matter. That's really like you got shelves and levels of evil.
Yep. That you won't even just leave it alone. So in other words, you don't just go ahead and have the crime committed and just walk off and let the people wonder, you know, well, what happened? But no, you're going to put the Black Lives Matter because you figure it'll attract attention away from you. Well, that was unsuccessful. I don't know, Tamika.
Those are a lot of levels of hate.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of energy. Shantice and I have been talking about that lately. A lot of energy goes into doing this stuff, man. You should be tired out. Listen, that will wear my brain out. Just trying to do all that kind of plotting. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for joining us. We're going to go and grab our Minister AJ. Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good morning. Yiggity-yang, yiggity-yang-yang.
How are you today? Excuse me.
I am doing great. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm great because you're great. How can I come back with something else when you say you great? I'm well, thank you. I'm well. So, we got the judge who's handing out sentences as well as pimping out his family. Well, what kind of family man are you?
Straight perverted, straight sinful, and straight crazy. And it just shows you how sentence progressive. After you done pimp the wife out, you know, now you're pimping the daughter out. Listen, and it shows how sin does not stay on one level. And then you out here judging. We don't know how many people you done let go with your crooked mind or that you done sentenced, you know, incorrectly.
Yep. I wonder if, you know how they say, well, you know what, that opens up investigations for, like, different, when these people do something wrong, they go back into their the archives of all of the cases. And they start and they start examining the cases, and some people end up being let go because of your crooked behavior.
Absolutely.
If that's what's going to happen. You know, Minister AJ, here was my question. Let's say for argument's sake, you pimped the wife out. And like Tamika said, you know, she comes back home and she got some new tricks. Okay. What was the purpose of doing it with the daughter? How are you possibly benefiting from that? For money? You really needed money? You know what I'm saying? Is that like a crazy question?
Mm-hmm. No, it's not a crazy question. Like I said, sin becomes progressive. When you start losing your mind, you go to any extreme, you know, to satisfy yourself, to satisfy your ego. to satisfy your nasty desires, you know, your lust. But, you know, like, lust is evil desires that, you know, can't, you know, that can never be fulfilled. Some people lust after just perversion, nastiness, just feeding their ego. And guess what? You know, you know that's a void that'll never be fulfilled. You know, you'll be trying over and over and over and over, and it'll never be fulfilled. The level of nastiness, the level of perversion, and that's what happens. You go from one extremity to the next, you know, until eventually God turns you over to that reprobated mind, you know, that rejects God.
You know, as you were talking, I started thinking about the different Bible verses that tell us that, you're right, sin grows and festers into other things, and like you said, it becomes larger and larger and larger, and before you know it, you end up doing some other stuff that you didn't even think that you would be doing. So you're absolutely right. The Bible does speak of that, because I'm looking at the article, and I'm like, well, how do you even benefit from the daughter if you're not doing something with the daughter yourself? How are you benefiting even from putting her out there? Didn't say anything about money. So not only that, but power. Power.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Money, power, and sex. These things that'll destroy her, man.
Thank you so much, Minister AJ.
You're welcome.
We'll be back. Where's my girl who always gives
me
the
ask
anchor?
Me about the other story.
Oh, I didn't. You're right. The Florida man. Black Lives Matter. He was pointing to you, Minister AJ. What you got?
What I got on that story is you done tried to kill his girl, and like you said, you hired the wrong people. You know what? Not only is sin progressive, but sin will make you stupid, okay?
Dumb.
It'll make you do some stupid things. It's like them drug dealers who make all this money but never put away money just in case they get locked up. You know, sin will make you stupid.
Absolutely. I'm so sorry I moved on without you on that
one.
That's
okay.
Yeah. But the Black Lives Matter is, you're so silly. The Black Lives Matter thing also is what really stuck out to me.
Yeah.
Where, again, here you are blaming somebody else for what you're doing.
Exactly. It shows that you don't have much substance to yourself. Instead of doing something constructive with your time, you out here trying to kill the ex, you trying to, you know, throw acid on her, knock the teeth out, doing all this other stuff. You know, who are you? Do you even have your own identity? Do you have something to work on? And then now you're looking to put the blame on somebody else. Yeah, you need to go find something to do. Go find Jesus.
Yeah. This is why we need Jesus.
Amen.
All righty.
Amen.
Thank you, Minister AJ, for joining us today. And
let's say
good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you today?
Morning.
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. We're talking about the judge, the daughter, and the wife. How do we get here?
This sex trafficking is real, man. They, wherever they see the opportunity to be able to make money off of whoever, the stories I've read, this does not surprise me at all. Unfortunately, you know, the baby is 12. I mean, you don't want to hear about anybody putting their child up for anything like that. But 12, like, you have no experience at all with sex at all, and now this is your experience. It's just, yeah, but this sex ring, and it just goes to show you again that, you know, how high it, up in the ranks it goes of the people that's involved. You have the politicians that's up there. You have the judges. You have, you know, there's been talk about the president and all, you know, so it's, man, listen, it's really sad.
You said something key. The level, how high it goes in the level of authority, you know, where it goes further than this. This is just the judge. What about the senator, the governor, the mayor, you know, all these people who know this stuff is going on and don't say anything. Something to think about. Something to think about. Yeah. Or if they're even not a part of it, they're knowledgeable, which makes you a part of it. Interesting point. What about your Black Lives Matter man?
Yeah, I'm listening, and this really had me rethinking, like, all the time, you know, the way I used to, like, end relationships, and my friends would tell me, you shouldn't have did it that way. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, they'll be all right. You know, because when they did whatever to me, it was fine. And so I ended it the way I ended it. I was like, ooh, was somebody contemplating my murder? Because he was determined. Well, not that determined, because, for one, I'm glad he did it, but you would have done it yourself. Or you would have sat a little longer and really... See, this is what happens when you don't watch the first 48. You know, you don't really know how to put stuff together. Because he didn't put no thought into that. For you to go hire anybody who's on drugs, so you go and hire someone who is already unstable, you know, outside of what you're about to introduce them to, you know, and it's not meant... God is telling you to stop. It's not meant for you to try to kill this girl. And you just continue to kill yourself in the process of you trying to kill her. You just add, you stacking up more points on your end, and she ain't even dead. You just give up.
I always think about that, Shantice, when the crime that you aim to commit fails, and then you go to jail. It's like, what do you think about when you
let
go to jail and you sit up in the... Huh?
Let me kill you and then go to jail. I don't want to be in jail because I tried to kill you. That would just make me mad. Or because I wanted to kill you and I'm in jail. I'm not glad I kill you. But this is what happens you're not sitting and putting it together, right? And a lot of times it's because, you know, and Kenny said this all the time, when you don't do things by yourself and you try to include all these other people, look at how it messes up.
Yeah, he's trying to get the spotlight off him, and in actuality, the spotlight is more on you than you even think. Well, thank you, Shantice, for joining us today. This kind of led me. I couldn't figure out what I wanted to talk about, and then I stumbled across this other article, and it talked about your frenemies. Now, if we haven't seen evidence of your frenemies when it comes to the husband and the father putting you out on the internet and pimping you out, and the ex, sometimes you just don't get along. You don't have to be enemies just because it don't work out for you. You know what, Brother Al, what's the worst breakup you had?
The worst breakup I've, now you mean girlfriend or just friend or?
You know what, my head went somewhere else.
I need to know.
No, I'm laughing because my head went to something else. An intimate relationship.
Okay, intimate relationship. I was saying I was dating this girl and she stalked me, and I don't think people who never been stalked don't understand how serious it is. You know, it's a serious thing, and I thought that I was gonna have to, you know, back then, look at my prior days, I was getting ready to end the story. It wasn't gonna end like how it ends on TV. I was gonna end it myself, but you know, this girl popped up at my house. She popped up at my job, you know, and what made me not go to another level was her mother called me, and her mother actually told me, "Hey, listen, be careful. My daughter is crazy," and I'm like, okay. You couldn't tell me that from the beginning, you know. you can't tell me that from the beginning. And I asked her, how did you get my number? And when she said when she went in her daughter's room, she had me and her name all over the wall, written in crayon or something. and my phone. And that's how she got my number. Yeah. And crayon. She used marker paint. She had crayon. And she was like, Al is such and such. I love Al. Like give him some real live Fatal Attraction stuff. And not only was that worse, that was scary. It was very scary. I think that was the first time I ever been that scared. Because I'm like, this girl may kill me.
Wow, what a crayon. Wow.
What about a crayon?
Listen.
But,
Now, here's what I want. Go ahead and finish saying what you're going to say, because I have another question for you.
Okay, well, what I was glad about, because her mother didn't know where she was, and they did find her, and they admitted her in the hospital and got her some help.
Wow. So, wait. So, when the mother told you, be careful because my daughter is crazy, did you think back on some signs where you that you overlooked, that you was like, you know what, I should have picked up on when she was crazy when she did this? Did that come across your head?
It did, but the crazy thing is she didn't show none of that. You know, like she was nice and she would call me and I think maybe I should have picked up. But now that I'm thinking now, I should have picked up when she would call me at least. And this is no lie. She would call me at least 20 to 25 times per day. So I should have kind of picked up on it then, like, who does that? You don't miss me that much. I just talked to you 5 minutes ago.
Did you just say 25? Do you know it's only 24 hours in a day? So she didn't call you 25 times. That means an average of once an hour. And you're going to say, I didn't think nothing of it? Oh, my God.
No,
gosh.
I just said just now as I thought about it. Back then, no, but just now as I was thinking about it, I was like, wow, you know, that was a sign right there.
That's what I'm saying. Even when it was going on, it didn't click that, okay, something might be wrong upstairs if she's calling me once an hour.
You know what happened? When she was making the calls, I didn't talk to her all the time when she was calling, because, you know, we didn't have cell phone there, so she would call my house phone, and when I would come in, I would see all these messages. So I didn't talk to her all those times, but she did call.
Tamika, if somebody were calling you like that, what would you have thought?
Well, the sad part about it is I kind of went through that too, so I'm a bad one to ask.
What did you say?
Yeah, I said I'm a bad one to ask because I went through some of the similar things that he went through. I did go through the phone calling as well. You know, at first you think, oh, that's sweet. You're thinking about me, you know, that type of thing. You know, you're flattered, but after a while, you should be paying attention to the signs. And a lot of times you're so, I don't know if it's enamored, you're impressed by the fact that somebody's interested to that degree. Then you start seeing the signs later on. So I'm a bad one to ask on that one. But now that I'm older, you know, this was in my former life. But in my present life, I know, okay, after a certain period, amount of calls, okay, that's enough. I have a life, you have a life. And the fact that you're calling me so much, that's a problem.
Okay, Tamika, so do you really, really, really want to hold on to the fact that the reason why we can't ask you is because you were the one who were making the phone calls 25 times a day? Was it Tamika, Al? Go ahead, go ahead. Shame the devil and tell the truth. Is that why?
Hey,
is that
listen,
why you can't
hey, listen,
point the
Pastor
finger?
Steph, Pastor Steph, no comment.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay, so was that your worst breakup, Tamika? I know you spoke also about somebody stalking you at one point.
I did. But that was actually not my worst. I was in a relationship with a gentleman who was very oppressive. You know, his mindset is whatever he thought about, that's what I should do. If he wanted me to wear pants, then I wore pants. If he wanted me to wear dresses, then I wore dresses. I mean, he put me through a gambit of just a maze. And, you know, my mind, I was very naive. He was my first love. So I figured that that's what I was supposed to do, not realizing that's not what I'm supposed to do.
Wow, wow, wow. Okay, okay. Well, you kind of got Al out of that by saying that it was your first love. Okay. Y'all covering up for one another real well today. All right now, all right now. All right now. Okay. Minister Eight.
Pastor Staff.
Yes.
Pastor, hold on a minute. Tamika calling me right now.
Oh my goodness gracious! Listen, as long as she's available when it's her turn again, I'll be. That's between y'all. That's between y'all. Minister AJ, what was the worst breakup you had?
I would say when I found out this lady was a narcissist. You know that's one of the craziest things to ever deal with, because they always think that they can suck you back in. So it's a lot of drama. And if you come across anybody with narcissistic behavior, run. Get out.
Wow. Wow. All right.
Hello?
Shantiz ain't had nothing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, my phone's breaking up. Well, I'm still in the middle of a breakup, so that's the worst.
You know what?
I think my worst one was finding, like, when I realized that there was a whole lot of gaslighting going on. You know, when you're dealing with someone and you constantly ask yourself, am I bugging? Like, am I constantly going to God, like, all right, God, this is when I need to have one of those dreams, like in the Bible, where you send the angel to come talk to me, because
are you talking and we lost you?
Hello?
Because she ain't supposed to have no boyfriend. That's why it's cutting off.
I think we lost her. Okay, well, we'll have to come back. We'll have to come back around to Shantiz. All right. Well, Shantiz, hang up and call back. Maybe you'll get in a little better at that time. Okay, I just thought about that when I was about to introduce this frenemy, this concept. And, you know, we're talking about friends, and I always say, you know, before we get into these relationships, become friends. Because when you are developing a friendship, you have to remember a lot of stuff comes out when you're friends. You get an opportunity to see a whole lot of stuff. If you pay attention, your eyes, you ain't got stars in your eyes and all this kind of nonsense. So we're going to help some people figure out whether these people are true friends or if they're frenemies. All righty? Okay. So, we'll start with you, Brother Al. And they say you are in a toxic relationship, and this is a friendship, if you're consistently fighting or running into conflict. Would you agree?
100% agree. Yes, indeed. You're going back and forth all the time and you're fighting. Hey, it's not healthy. It's very toxic.
Okay, okay. Tamika, you're constantly fighting or running into conflict with your friend.
The key word to that is constantly. You know, sometimes you will, from time to time, have differences of opinion, but you know, when you get to the point where everything I say, if I say it's black, you say it's white. If I say it's new, you say it's old. If I say it's skinny, you say it's fat. You know, that becomes a serious problem. And anytime it gets to the point where anytime I try to address you, now I'm walking on eggshells because I don't know how you're going to respond. So, yeah, that's definitely a red flag for toxic relationships.
Okay, okay. Minister AJ. You're constantly fighting or running into conflict with this person. It's just a friend. What's the big deal?
Absolutely. This is supposed to be your friend. What's there to argue about on a consistent basis? You know, maybe it's because somebody is overstepping their boundaries or they're doing something they're supposed to, but as a friend, you shouldn't be arguing all the time. That should be usually friends are in agreement, you know. So to consistently argue, something's definitely wrong there.
Alrighty.
Somebody's looking at the friendship from a, you know, from a different point of view. Maybe you want more. It could be anything. Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay. Good point, good point. Shantice, you're back. So do you want to finish what you're saying, what you were saying?
Oh, I was just saying when you're dealing with someone who is gaslighting you, you know, when you ask yourself, am I bugging in the streets, is one thing. When you start asking yourself that spiritually, and now you're trying to follow what God is telling you to do, and now they help you to start questioning that, that's when you know that that's a serious problem. So
okay,
you got to make sure
okay.
you end that quick.
Yeah, get out fast. All right. Well, we're talking about friendships, and we're trying to help our listeners determine whether these are toxic relationships they have. And the first thing they're saying is when you're constantly fighting or running into conflict with this person who's supposed to be your friend.
Yeah, that's not a friend, because you're not going to always agree. Or, you know, everything is not going to always go smooth, but you shouldn't. Friends are not combative like that. And when you see that y'all just continue to bump heads, that may just have to take a breather. Separate. One go east, one go west.
All right, all right. Tamika, they say you don't feel excited to see them anymore.
You know, the spirit will always let you know. We often talk about discernment, you know. It's that you know, people sometimes don't want to give it that the title that it is, but it is discernment. When you're starting to be around an individual, all of a sudden you feel uncomfortable, and you can't always put your finger on it. Sometimes the Lord telling you, you know, you need to back off from that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of times we'll trivialize it and say, oh, well, you know, it's just this and it's just that, and we give excuses.
Mm-hmm.
When in actuality, God is clearly saying to you, boo-boo, if every time you call such and such, if every time you're around such and such, if even sometimes when somebody mentions such and such's name, maybe you ought to take heed to that. And take it for what it is, you know, before they end up really hurting you to the degree that they're looking you in the face, kissing you in the face, and stabbing you in the chest.
Wow. Good points. Good points. Minister AJ, you don't feel excited like you used to, you know, when they come around.
Absolutely. Because something had to have happened or multiple things to drive out the excitement, you know. And usually if the excitement is gone, 9 times out of 10, you thinking, you know. And whatever you are thinking, it's not good. It's not on good terms to drive the excitement out, you know. And when you start that thinking, and some people check out mentally first. So when it starts going up, you know, upstairs mentally, you know, it's going to spread, you know, abroad, you know, into other things and, you know, eventually into your actions, you know. So, yeah, some things must have happened. So, yeah, bad sign.
All right. Shantice, we got you don't feel excited to see them. All that excitement is gone out the window.
That means you don't wore me out. And I was like, I don't want to be around you. And like Lady Tamika said, you know, just even the thought of your name or when someone mentions your name, you start rolling your eyes and all that. And I've watched people do that and they still like keep themselves around that person. And it's like, how do you have the energy to do that? Cause I can't fake the funk, you know, and I understand. I am one who understands when God says, you know, I still need you to be around this person or these people and so on and so forth. And one of the things I ask God for mainly is, can you please give me a genuine heart? Because, God, you know I'm going to show that I don't want to be around this person. Because it's going to come. I used to be one to go out my way. Like, I just want to let you know I don't like you. So please don't try to talk to me, whether it's a one-on-one or whether it's a group of us. Please do not try to start up a conversation, but you really have to pay attention to stuff like that. Because like Willow said, that's God helping to show you whether you're right or you're wrong. He's helping to show you how you genuinely feel about this person. So if you need to fix it, fix it. If God is showing you that because you need to go the other way, you just go the other way. You don't want that
person. Okay. Brother Al.
Oh, yeah.
You don't feel excited. What is that about?
That mean that the love is gone. You know, it's like, and it's so funny that we're talking about this because I've mentioned this before, me being having a friend for so long, growing up together, and we're no longer friends. And, you know, it's like that, like you said, that excitement is gone. Like, you know, usually you got a good friend, you see the friend, hey, what's up, how you doing? And then it turns from that to, oh, that's him again. Or even you stop answering the phone. You know, you get the phone call and you look at your phone. I'll just call that person back later. You know, it's just completely gone. It's time to go. And like I said, I just recently went through that of a friend I had for like almost 40 years. So it's crazy. But yeah, that means it's time to go. That means you're going someplace and this person can't go with you.
Absolutely. Minister AJ, you know you're in a toxic friendship. This is not your friend, but your frenemy, when they tell all your secrets to other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And two, it's a sign of immaturity for me. Like, if we sit here and we talk and we're supposed to keep things in between us, and now as quick as you get off the phone with me and it's stuff that you know you're not supposed to be telling somebody else, and now you're giving this information to somebody else, you definitely are a friend of me. You know, anybody with loose lips have a loose life, period.
Oh, wow. Wow, I like that one. Wow, okay. Shantice, they telling all your secrets to other people.
Yes, I sat and I've watched people, as soon as a conversation is over, they running outside to text or to call. I had a friend, I had to tell them at one point, don't talk to me. We're a new rule. We're not allowed to talk about other people. We're not, because that just seems to be the only time we stay on the phone for more than 3 minutes. It means you want to tell me somebody else's business. And don't think for one second I don't believe you telling my business. So I have to implement that rule. But I've watched people from the second the last word is given, they're now on the phone. And I'm like, how was that? Like, did you wake up this morning and tell the person, I'll call you around this time and let you know what was said? It's just, I don't. And these are grown people. We ain't talking about even someone like late teens or adolescent. Grown people with families. Like, how do you, yeah. That what Minister AJ just said, loose lips, loose life, yeah. I've watched that play out just like that.
Wow. All right, Brother Al. You know, there's no confiding in this person. They just telling everything.
Yeah. Hey, listen, only if it's to save your life. Like, you know, I told y'all about Tamika Backyard. So if something go down, y'all can vouch that I told y'all. You see what I'm saying? I'm just saying, I got to protect myself too. So I let you guys know. So if something go down, you can say he's been saying this for months and months. But I'm just joking on that. But, yeah, you know, the person is telling all your business. First of all, you felt comfortable and you know, and confident that, you know, I need somebody to talk to. I could talk to my friend, and I could tell them anything. Then they going out telling your business to everybody. You know, that's just not a friend. Snitches get stitches. That's what we say on the street. You know, so, yeah, get rid of that person. Don't tell that person nothing else. Nothing else.
Wow. Tamika, you know, you're telling, and then they telling.
You know, the way that I see that, eagles don't fly with pigeons. you know, and in my mind, that's a pigeon mentality. So, you know, I'm meant to soar. I'm meant to get there. And because you can't get there, the worst that you can do is talk about me, or you can say what it is that I'm not going to do, or whatever it is that God has held. Maybe he gave me something and I couldn't keep it to myself, and I decided, ooh, I'm going to share with the person that I considered my friend. And now you decide to spread it like seeds, you know, across. And you know, you have a pigeon mentality. I'm here trying my best to soar, and you're pulling me down with the words that you say and the things that you say to other people. So, you know, pigeon, you stay down where you are, and I'm going to soar. I'm going to be an eagle that the God created me to be.
Wow. All right. You people coming up with some serious catchphrases here. All right. So, I want to talk about the fact that they don't reciprocate emotional support. Oh, so that's one of the true signs that these people are not for you. Shantice.
Well, they don't reciprocate.
Oh, wait, or was that Minister AJ's time? I'm sorry. Which one? Minister AJ or you, Shantice?
Me.
It's Shantice.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Brother Al.
You said they don't reciprocate emotional support?
Yep.
Yeah, when you find yourself, especially if you make sure you go out of your way to be there for them, you know, when they need to talk, when they need to cry, when they want to sound stupid and tell you all this crazy stuff and what they done kept doing repetitively, and you gave them advice and they still didn't take it, but they still want to talk to you about it. And then whenever you're going through something, they're never there. They're checked out. They don't want to be bothered. Yeah, no. Again, go the opposite direction, because now they're okay with you making the investment in them, but they don't deem you important enough to now invest in you. Mm-mm.
Okay. Brother Al, they don't offer emotional support that you've already offered.
Yeah, they don't want your support. You know, it's like some people feel, I could just do it all by myself. You know, I don't need nobody to tell me nothing. I'll just deal with this by myself. But if you're my friend, I'm supposed to be there for you emotionally, as you should be there for me emotionally. So once they start pushing you away, especially if it's on a constant, you know, level, it's like, man, okay, time to go. It's time to get up out of there.
Wow, okay. Tamika.
So emotional support. So people like that are kind of like, they're always making a withdrawal. They always come into you for such and such and such. And, you know, I had to learn that whenever I come to you, and I'm one of those people, I try my best to figure it out myself first before I come to, you know, another individual. And if every time, that's a real sign, because what people do, they do it all the time. They do it across the board. They're constant, you know, so they often do that. If every time I turn around, you're withdrawing, and you never deposit. So that means I'm coming to you for help, and you can't deposit for me. That should be a definite flag that, okay, you know what? You're not really my friend. You're just trying to get what you can from me, and you're trying your best to deplete my bank. So if I continue to keep letting you withdraw, then what do I have left?
Wow. Minister AJ. What happens to that emotional support that doesn't come back even after you've given?
All right. For me, I'm looking at the process of sowing and reaping. You know, if you are always asking for something and you're always wanting to receive and never sowing, something is wrong with that picture. So now I'm looking at the reason why you're not sowing. You know, either you don't know how to, maybe you're selfish. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you don't consider anybody else's feelings, and this is why you always on the end where you need help. So
That's what it is for me. I'm looking at why you're not sowing, you know, why you're not giving. Because it's easy. If you give to me, I should be able to give to you. It should. That's how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
It should be able to be reciprocated. But if you're not giving, oh, it's a reason why you're not giving. Maybe you're all about yourself. Maybe you're straight selfish. Maybe you just don't care enough, you know, or maybe nobody ever showed you, you know. Maybe, you know, your parents grew you up thinking it wasn't, you know, you didn't have to share your blocks. Just take everybody else's blocks. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, all right, all right. Yeah. This one is interesting. They say you feel bad about yourself after spending time with them. Ooh. Brother Al.
Yeah, that's a deep one there. You feel bad after you spent time with them. Oh, yeah, yeah. Now you're being emotional depleted because it's like, wow, I want to be with the person, but I feel bad when I'm with them. So, yeah, that's definitely a sign that you got to get out of there. You feeling bad. Mm-mm. Time to go.
Well, has that ever happened to you?
Yes. It's so funny because, like, everything we're talking about is what I just recently went through with the person that I'm not friends with no more. So that's why it's, like, so easy for me to relate because – and I'm looking like, why didn't this happen sooner? But, you know, everything happens in God's time. But, yes, that has happened. Yep.
All righty. What would you – how would you give an example? There may be someone listening who doesn't understand that. What does it mean when you feel bad after you left the person? I don't understand what that means. What would be an example you would give?
Okay, for me, it's like this person that was my friend had a habit of just doing wrong things to people and just didn't realize, or he had things that he would do that he didn't care long as he got what he wanted. And when you're hanging with that person, like it was a couple of times I was with him when he done things, and I'm sitting there like, wow. And, you know, and instead of me walking away, I was still there with him. So now when I left, I'm like, I felt bad, like I did something, but it wasn't. It was because I was in the presence of him while he did something he had no business doing.
Wow.
So it made me felt like I'm with him, so I'm condoning it. You know what I'm saying? That's why I felt bad. I'm like, wow, I should have left when I saw the nonsense start, but I didn't.
Wow. Okay. Tamika, you know this is a friend of me. When you feel bad about yourself after you left the person.
Listen, I want to say you are under no obligation to be friends with anyone. It's necessary that we choose our friends wisely and don't waste time on people that leave you frustrated, stressed out, depressed, or with a bad taste in your mouth. Of course, we got to be kind and considerate, but know that you have a choice in the matter. You don't have to do it, you know. Just because the bus is there doesn't mean that you have to ride it. You don't have to subject yourself to that type of behavior. And my thing is, if you're in the presence of someone and they're draining you all the time, it's time to let that one go.
Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, I'm not a person who tit for tat, but I remember a specific occasion. This person, it was her birth, and so I decided to give her half her age in gifts. And so I bought a lot of gifts, and I went, you know, just trying to go out and find different gifts, you know, just little trinkets, and some of them were actually pricey. Just my way of saying, you know, I appreciate you, you know, I'm thinking about you, that type of thing. And just it was kind of like after she opened up the gifts, it was just like, thank you. And I was like, wow, you know, just and it wasn't just that one thing. It just continued to be constant. But that first response kind of gave me like a little feeling like, wow, that's all you get, you know. If let's just say if you're 40 and I give you 20 gifts, you know, just just the idea of you have different boxes and bags and things, I would expect the response to be a little different. And the Lord let me know, and it was kind of funny because the Lord had already told me, see, I told you to stay away. And that was the beginning of all of the different issues that I just wasn't getting it, you know, and I still wasn't getting it. And, you know, even after it, how long, how many years do you have to continue to suffer yourself to deal with it? That's why I keep saying you're not obligated to do anything. If you're suffering in the presence of what you consider your friend, that is a true issue. And you need to see God as to saying, God, what do I do? How do I handle this? Because your emotions are tied into this person. And it sometimes takes a lot. Sometimes it takes days. Sometimes it takes months. Sometimes it takes years. But you have to take it upon yourself to sever yourself from that individual before you get taken under.
Okay. So how did that leave you feeling bad about yourself?
Oh, my gosh. I was depleted because I put so much energy into trying to make her life better. And, there was nothing given back. It was always what you can get, what you can get. And I'm always giving, and I'm always pouring out. Just take a bottle of water, a regular bottle of water, turn it upside down, and there's only so much in that bottle. When you get to the bottom, what do you have left? That's exactly what I had within me.
Wow. You're giving up some good instances. Minister AJ, you know, you feel bad about yourself after you leave them. What is that?
Some people can drain your spirit. And this has happened to me. I left somebody, and my spirit was just upside down. because it could be a lot of times, what's the agenda of the person? You get what I'm saying? So sometimes God even allow your spirit to be turned upside down because, you know, what they were portraying wasn't really what it was. You get what I'm saying to you? They had their own agenda. Mm-hmm, they had their own set of feelings. And here it is. You could have been pouring out, helping them and feeling drained. And now that's why you feel bad, because you went the extra mile to make sure they was good. But in all actuality, you know, they had a whole different agenda. And you know, they either didn't care as much as they said they did, or they just, you know, was a nasty person, straight up.
Okay. Much like Tamika. All right. Shantice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, when you're around someone and they just make you feel like so much less than yourself, especially when you initially get around them, let's say, for the day, and, you know, you're pretty all right. You're good. Your mood is mellow. And then by the time you leave them, it's just like how you start viewing yourself, you know? So it's like, okay, we met up today at 2 o'clock. We went out. And by the time we did whatever, whether we just chilled, whether we went out to eat, to move, whatever transpired throughout that day, now it's just like I just feel like crap. You know, maybe because of something that they were saying to you, or, you know, maybe an argument or something. And again, you're never going to always agree, but no one should ever start now making you question your value. And when you start to feel like that, when you leave their presence, literally, not when you hang up the phone from them, but when you're physically in their presence and now you walk away and now you're questioning your value, and it's like, nah, it's too many questions. It's time for them to go east and you go west. It's too much.
Wow.
Because they now leave you with a problem that they've introduced you to. They have their own set of problems. Now they've introduced you to their problems, and now their problems become a problem that you have with yourself. If that is not the most twisted thing, and when you start to realize that, take that as a blessing, because you do not always pick up on it. They make you think something's wrong with you, like you're self-inflicting, like, you know, and no, the real issue is them. So, time to be out.
Mm. Interesting points. Thank you so much for describing that, because again, you know, when I first looked at it, I get it, but other people may not get it. And your descriptions and examples were really, really key. I want to talk about this one here. You know, when they are jealous of other people in your life, well, how do you get through that, Tamika?
How do you get through it? And I've had that. And sometimes it's because of whatever it is that they're lacking. A lot of times they're looking across the board at the individual who could prosper you, who can allow you to achieve the things that you may be achieving. And so they're striking either verbally, because they, you know, they because they have your ear, because it's someone that you've been speaking to. A lot of times they'll tell you how they feel, kind of slyly. They won't really tell you exactly what the issue is, but they'll say, you know, I don't like such and such. You know, you shouldn't spend time with such and such. Be careful for such and such. But they never really tell you exactly why, you know. You just have to be careful who you align yourself with. Just for your own safety, you know, you don't want to be misguided by somebody mentally. And we often talk about praying to God for all of it. You know, it's definitely to put your life in God's hands, because he'll clearly direct you as to where to go and how to do it.
Okay. Minister AJ, you know, they're jealous of other people in your life.
Yeah, you got to be very careful with that, because sometimes they say a lot of things subliminally, and you got to really, it may not be, you know, till months later that you really catch on. Like, I was dating a woman, and she said, you do so much for your kids, and she kept saying it, you do so much for your kids, and I was like, okay, why she keep saying that, you know? And then a little bit more came out, and more it came out.
Wow.
And what it was, she finally just said, I was jealous of the relationship that you had with your kids. And I was like,
wow.
That's crazy.
Wow.
So definitely, again, narcissistic behavior. Be very, very careful. And, yeah, you know, you got to sometimes just read in between the lines, man. And if they say it over and over, pay very close attention.
Wow. All right. Shantice. Jealous of other people in your life.
Yeah, I had a friend who paid me no minds until they saw other people coming around. And it's like, oh, that's all I got to do is go make new friends. And now, you know, a lot of people, they just want to, when you realize with a lot of people, it's not real friendship. They just like having access to you. And when you see somebody has those type of traits, again, let them go east and you go west. Because you want to be able to have a friend who appreciates the fact that, you know, God allows us to be different things for different people. So he didn't create me necessarily just for me to spend all my days and time with you. There's other people who I need to feed from, and vice versa, you know. So once you see people like that, it's like, yeah, it's time to go.
Wow. Brother Al.
Oh, yeah.
What about those people who are jealous?
Man, you know, it's so funny, man, because, like I said, everything we're talking about, I've been through. And I think what the biggest problem is, the person feels threatened for some reason. So being that they feel threatened, now they're looking to sabotage, you know, sabotage you being friends with that other person, and jealousy. So it's like a whole bunch of stuff just come into place. It's like the person want you for themselves, you know what I'm saying? So they don't want you friends with this person or that person, you know, and like I said, it becomes a thing of being, you know, sabotaging and everything, so. That's crazy, because like I said, I just went through all of this, and yeah, it's crazy.
Wow. All righty. Here's one. They're always trying to one-up you. They're trying to outdo what you do. Is that a friend or a frenemy? Minister AJ.
Yeah, that's a frenemy. Yeah, more than likely it's a frenemy. Because it's not a competition. You know, a friend, you know, we should complement each other. Where you're lacking, you know, you can pull me up and vice versa. But if it's about competition, then yeah. Because, you know, what are you willing to do to win? You know, are you willing to be that crab in the barrel to win? You know, to what extent would you go? So you have to be very careful with that. If they're always trying to get one up on you or try to, you know what I'm saying? And then some people try to get one up on you to make themselves feel better. They're not just confident in themselves.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then we know how that goes. So, you know, what are you willing to do? How far, what extent would you go? You know?
Good question.
Yeah. For the right price, you might just trade me. So, hey.
Yeah. Good question. Yeah. Shantice. Excuse me.
Yeah, when you notice that, a lot of that comes from jealousy. I mean, you know that when you start to pick up on someone being jealous, you know, really start trying to figure out in the process of you moving away, what is it that they're jealous of and why? Like, is that their motive for being around you? Are they now, you know, calling themselves trying to feel like maybe they can take, whether it's another relationship you have with someone else or material things or whatever it is, but a lot of that comes with jealousy. And jealousy, a lot of the time, is what drives people to be around somebody. So it's like, oh, I like the fact that she has this, or she always gets the men, or she always does this, and now that's my motive for being around him or her. And you really have to be careful, because now then that person becomes unpredictable. And a lot of times, now what I've experienced and I've watched with other quote-unquote friends is now you start having big blow-ups in public, and that just introduces a whole other level of issues.
But
yeah,
do you think that
yourself from that equation?
I'm sorry? Do you think that, I talked when you were talking, I thought you were done. Do you think that that public blowout is like a showcase of who you are versus who they are?
Of course, because the public blowout, a lot of times the mission for that is to embarrass you. So if I now feel like I have enough that I can say or show that's going to embarrass you and now make me look, I've had someone do that to me, and they call themselves embarrassing me, and come to find out they were the ones that ended up looking crazy. Because they kept trying to throw dirt on my name, and after a while, people were just like, well, wait, now that Shantice is physically standing here and you saying this stuff, this don't sound like her. And now they're paying attention to my response and how I'm responding, not only what I'm saying, but the way I'm saying it. And now they're sitting there looking crazy like, oh, why you mean it like that? No, yes, you did. But you didn't think it was going to go down like this. So, yeah, a lot of the times the public disputes is so that they can put you out there to embarrass you, and now they can look like, you know, like Ms. AJ said, so now I can feel better about myself, and now others can look at me like I'm the better person. And when people start doing that, again, like you said, there's no, it's so unpredictable. They become so unpredictable.
Wow. Brother Al, you know, they're trying to outdo you.
Pastor, are you sure you ain't been talking to the person I just stopped being friends with?
No, this just happens to be for you today.
You know, for real. And you know what? And I'm going to give you a true story on it. Yes, indeed. Always trying to outdo you. Again, that's where the jealousy come in at. And it's so funny because Tamika knows the person I'm talking about. And when the situation happened, before, you know, I had met Tamika, but we didn't start dating. And I was like, wow, you know, she's kind of cute. And when I said that, he tried to go and talk to her first. He tried to go and talk to her first. And, you know, of course, you see what happened. He didn't win. But the point is, it was like, if I mentioned something, Oh, yo, I went and got me some sneakers today, man. I had to get rid of these doggone sneakers. Now you going to get two pair. Oh, yeah, I saw some sneakers. I'm going to get two pair. Like, wow.
Wow.
Yo, look at this suit I bought. This suit is nice. Oh, yeah. Oh, yo, you got to check out this suit I got. And I'm like,
wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, definitely. You know, definitely they try to outdo you. They're definitely going to always try to one-up you. And it's sad, too. It's sad, very sad.
How do you get there? That's the part I never understand. And we were supposed to be friends from the beginning. How do we get to that point where now it becomes a battle? That doesn't even make sense to me. Tamika, excuse me, you know, we're talking about trying to outdo one another. Where does that even stem from?
I think somewhere, you know, it could have been childhood, you know, maybe a sibling that seemed to excel. You know, we don't realize that a lot of times things come from the very beginning. Maybe a parent, you know, had two children or more and was always saying something about one a little bit more than the other, you know, and that individual, and maybe the person was excelling, but that individual felt threatened and, you know, continued to use that along their lives, some form of inferiority or maybe the fact of them feeling like they're losing something, you know, that causes people to be jealous. And I kind of want to tag team on what Minister AJ had said about the crabs in the barrel. So, okay, fine. You know, how far do you take it? You know, you're willing to pull off my arm, you know, to exceed, to one up on me? You know, how far? I mean, when you think about it, we're all in the barrel. So you pulled off my arm and you got across and you got on top of me, but we're still in the barrel, you know, and the end result is we're still in the barrel. Where does it really get you? I remember a specific individual, you know, God has given me the ministry of dance. He also gave me the ministry of song, you know, and I thank the Lord for what he's given me, but that is what he's given me. And so I remember this individual was so threatened by me that she joined this dance troupe or dance ministry, and, you know, it was a total flop. And, you know, it embarrassed her. And I was there, and I tried my best to support her, even again at the same time. And I'm saying to myself, you know, what was the purpose of that? And it's still, again, you know, it takes a while. You as the individual who's supporting and pouring out to someone, be very, very careful who you align yourself with.
All right. Good explanation as to how it gets started. Good explanation. Let's see. I'm going to give to close out. You can either choose they don't make time for you, or they don't respect your boundaries. And we talked about boundaries before, but in an intimate relationship. So feel free to close out, and we'll start with you, Brother Al. You know, either they don't respect your boundaries or they don't make time for you. Which one you want?
I'm going to go with they don't respect your boundaries. You know, when you become friends with people, you know, people sometimes say, you know, just because you get along with them, a lot of people use that word friend very loosely. I don't use that word loosely. I'll say, yo, that person is cool with me, or I know that person. A friend is somebody who's going to have your back, who's going to respect what you do, who's going to support you. So when you got a friend like I just stopped being friends with, always crossing the boundary, always in competition with you, and jealous. Jealousy is something that most people can't get rid of. That's just a makeup that they have. And so now when that person is jealous, they're going to do whatever it is to one-up you, to make you look bad, to make themselves look good, whether it's talking about you or trying to be on the same level with you with money or pay, or trying to buy something better than what you have, or you might be going, what I experienced, you might be going to a wedding and say, I'm going to get a gift. The person wait to see what gift you got, and now I want to buy a gift better than yours. So those are not friends. And unlike me, I stuck in this relationship for 40 years, and you don't have to be in there that long. When you see those things, run, because that's nothing but heartache and pain So you want to run away from there. So just be careful who you use that word friend with. We use that word very loosely. That's my friend. That's my friend. Not your friend. So be very careful on who you say, this is my friend.
All righty. Nice clothes. Tamika, which one are you choosing? You know, they don't respect your boundaries or they don't make time for you.
I'm going to go with boundaries. There are confines and areas of do not cross for a reason. And when we decide to allow, oh, well, that's my friend. It's okay. You know, how far will you allow? I'll give you a instance. I remember one day the friend had come to the house and I had lined up everything that I was going to wear. I had it ironed and ready to go. And I had, you know, I was one of those people that had my stuff out for the week. So I got my stuff out for the week and it's Tuesday and I'm looking for, I get up Thursday morning looking for Thursday's outfit. Thursday's outfit is not there. And I'm like, well, I know I put such and such there and I had it lined out, had a little flower in my hair because I, like, Thursday's hanger is gone. And I happened to talk to somebody and they said, you know, I saw your friend such and such, and she got on a nice outfit. I said, wait a minute. And I said to myself, it couldn't be her. Again, that's the thing we us of, oh, it's not, it's got to be me, you know, it can't be her, you know, no. And then I the individual, what does she have on? And I mean, when I tell you from top to bottom, the hair bow, the top, and I'm like, she went in my closet and took my clothes. Are you serious? You know, and I kept saying to myself, this is just me. It can't be. Maybe she has an outfit that's similar to mine. But then when I saw her that day, she literally had on it, you know, and a lot of times we have a tendency to deceive ourselves and say it can't be. Well, I'm here to tell you it can be. I can even state that the end result of some of those things leave you in debt. They leave you confused. They leave you scratching your head trying to figure out what in the world did I do wrong? You didn't do wrong, or maybe you held on too long when the Lord said let go.
Wow. What a story. Oh, my goodness. Wow. All right. Minister AJ, which one are you selecting? They don't know their boundaries. They don't respect your boundaries, or they don't make time for you.
Yeah. I'm going to go with they don't make time for you. You know, a lot of times... Because sometimes people can still, you can still push to want to spend time with a person. And clearly, if they're not making time, that goes along with desire. So, you know, if you don't desire to be around me or spend time with me, then what is it? Are you only around me but when you have need of me? You know, so, you know, you have to really check that. If they don't spend time, that's the desire part. If they're not making time for you, but guess what? You know, are they popping up when it's time and they really need something? So for me, that's what it is. You know, if you don't, you know, make time for me, that means you don't desire to be around me. So we need to check this friendship, check what's wrong with it, or check the, you know, the lines of connections, and maybe it's not even worth carrying the friendship at this point.
Good point. You're making some good points here. And Shantees, which one are you closing with? They don't respect your boundaries, or they don't make time for you?
I'm going to close with the making time. Again, one of the main things that I've learned with friendship is you have to make sure that the other person feels like you appreciate them and that you want to be there. Not when it's just time to chill or when you need something or want something from them. And this, people just wanting to have access to you, it goes a lot deeper than what we initially think, you know, because, again, it goes to motives and it goes to jealousy and it goes to using you and all of that. So you really have to make sure that you understand their motives, that they understand their motives. So a lot of times people don't really, you know, they're not honest with themselves. So if you don't want to be around me, then what's the point? Because the only thing that's going to end up happening is big blowouts. It's going to start with petty bickering into big blowouts. And if you're as vocal as I am, it's going to get into big blowouts because I'm not good with the, I'm coming to you and tell you how I feel and you brushing me off. We ain't playing that, those radio games. So you don't want to be around me, then we can end this. Or we can either go to God and see if we're supposed to be friends. Maybe we just don't know how to be friends to each other, you know, because the friend I am to Sarah may not be to, you know, Nikki. That they may be two different parts of me. So you really have to make sure that everyone's motives are clear and that we understand that we're supposed to be friends. Because if not, then there's no need to learn anything.
All righty. Well, I want to take the time to thank my dude Tom Crew for coming through and helping us with this friendship thing. Oh, I pray you all have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
You too. Have a good day.
You as well. Everybody
right,
have a good
thank
day.
Thank you. Thank you. All righty. Well, let me give this benediction. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Ephesians 6:23-24. Oh, we talked about a lot today. And, you know, the relationships that were initially talked about in the news articles that we found really just chose for us. You know, like I said, first of all, with the family man, the daughter and the wife, you know, of course she's trusting him. Of course the daughter's trusting, you know, him to be the leader of this, you know, family and leader in the relationship. And, you know, you're supposed to be the one who, you know, protects. And at the end of the day, you turned out to be one big fraud. And at 55, you know, if this was a shared child of 12 years old, then we know good and well that you just didn't get married. You've been together for a minute. And at the end of the day, I found out that you were not who I thought you were. You know, even when we talk about the guy who was trying to kill the ex-girlfriend and our family, you know, not every breakup leads to, you know, bad blood. Sometimes we just realize we're just not good for one another or the time isn't right. So, you know, clearly when she was dating him, he had to have some of these tendencies going on. And is that one of the reasons why she broke up with him? We don't know. But clearly, he was not the one who, you know, was designed to protect her and take care of her. And because even when you break up, you still can be friends. And that's what we're talking about today. You know, what is the makeup of a friend? Is the makeup of a friend someone who, you know, you're constantly bickering with? Every time you turn around, you're running into some level of confrontation, you know, even if it's not something major, you know, but, you know, you're constantly, oh, well, you know, that's how she is, or, you know, that's how he is, or, you know, you're making excuses as to why they're behaving the way they're behaving. You know, is that really a friend? You know, are you the combative one? You know, do you have a hard time, you know, jiving with the ideas and the ways of, you know, that other individual? You know, where you've gotten to a point where you don't even want to see them anymore. You could care less whether you even see them anymore. And like someone said, you know, here they go, here they come. You know, where you don't even care to see them anymore. You know, that's not how we generally feel about a friend. You know, when you tell someone, you know, some intimate thing or things about yourself, and now like Shanti said, they can't wait to get to the next person, even discuss your business. And I always wonder, well, why is my business the top of your conversation? You know, you don't have a life of your own where you can, you know, talk to somebody about something that you're going through, or, you know, why am I experiencing sharing something with you that, you know, I thought was something intimate that I may have said, hey, you know, don't say anything. And I always say, the quickest way to get your business told is to tell somebody, don't say anything. Yeah, because that's the first thing they use to go and run. You know, you're talking about the emotional support. That is so key in a friendship. You know, I remember hearing a story of, you know, a young lady who was constantly complaining to who she thought was a friend about, you know, a guy that she really liked. And, you know, we all know if we're a woman, there's always that one person in our life that we spent complaining about. And this person just broke off the friendship, and she couldn't figure out, you know, why are you acting funny? Why are you distancing yourself? And, you know, she just came out and said, well, you talk about so-and-so too much. And, you know, I did ask, you know, well, is that, you know, a friend? Because what that person seems to not realize is I don't think I've known any woman to not talk about one man in her life to her girls or to her girl. And this may not be you now, but it will be you later. And you're going to want, and it goes back to what Minister AJ said, you know, reaping what you've sown. So if she felt that she had reached her point of, you know, sowing into, you know, the friendship by listening, then, what are you going to reap later when no one wants to hear what you have to say, when no one cares about what you are going through? You're really going to need that person to lean on. So now I advise you to pick up on that emotional support. If you are also an emotional draining, if you're constantly draining someone, you know, you have to think about it. You know, I know a lot of times, you know, we spread our information, the things that we go through, we spread it across the table. You know, we don't give it all to Mary. We don't give it all to John. You know, we do little by little. And, you know, it's something that we have maybe need to do to kind of cover becoming, you know, heavily weighted on someone. And that's, you know, that's a possibility. You know, we do have to think about it from the opposite side as well sometimes. You know, what exactly am I bringing to the table? Am I bringing something that can be seen as overwhelming to the table? So, you know, something to think about, something to think about. We close with, they don't make time for you, or they don't respect your boundaries. And both of these things are key when it comes to friendships. So you got to get yourself together and make sure you're following what God wants you to do as far as being a friend. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. Is Pastor Steph signing off? And I want to thank my Due Time crew for helping me hold it down. I know this frenemy conversation really, really was needed for somebody who's going to hear this broadcast. And I want to thank you for hanging out with us and spending time with us. Hopefully, you would have gotten something out of this conversation. Well, remember, choose Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Oh. until tomorrow, God spares, where it's Freestyle Friday. I love you.